When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouquet got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
And welcome back, Zoneheads. It is me, your host, Greg Rhodes, here on the Zoneheads Orlando podcast, here to cover the underreported. The weekly episode where I get the chance to dive in on a topic I feel just isn't getting the coverage it deserves in our Orlando sports ecosystem. And right now, the big talk is all about the Orlando Magic, and rightfully so. A triumphant return to the playoffs with one of the brightest young stars in the league. But I'm not here to talk about the original Major League Sports franchise here in Orlando. No. We did that last week. No, I'm here to shine a light on the often overlooked sibling. Yes, I'm here to talk about Orlando City Soccer Club, OCSC, Vamos Orlando, the Purple Haze, all that kind of good stuff. Now, I am certainly more of a casual fan when it comes to soccer as opposed to some of the other sports, but I'll just never forget the first time I went to an Orlando City game. Now, this is back when they still played at the Citrus Bowl. And even now in the new stadium, you still get this feeling. I still do, especially that first season. It's just the energy. It just sweeps over you. I've been to all kinds of different sporting events. I've been to playoff baseball. I've been to an NFL rivalry game. I've been to NHL sellouts. I've been to college football games. But nothing compares to that feeling that you get when you hear the chants going off in the wall, the drum line, when you see the TIFO get rolled out, and smelling that purple smoke bomb coming after a goal. I'm getting chills just sitting here talking about it. And after last season, I really did think that there was going to be more Orlando City talk in the City Beautiful. They finished second in the league in as far as records went. They lost in the playoffs, but the team that they lost to in the playoffs, the Columbus Crew, ended up winning the championship. Now, all of this seems like something that would add up to, I don't know, at least a few minutes here and there of talk of how great Orlando City is, how we're back to what it was pre-COVID, pre the shutdown, where there were sellouts at the stadium, there was wait lists to become a season ticket holder, but we just haven't quite gotten there. And I think part of it is just there isn't that main star player that you're looking at, and we'll talk a little bit about who I think could be that and what might happen with that player. But also, there was a little bit of changeover here in on the team, and there was a little bit of uncertainty coming into the season as to what this team was going to look like coming into this year. So now, while I say that they did finish second, a lot of people looked at it as a bit of a disappointing finish, even though, like I mentioned, the Columbus Crew won the championship. They ended up taking the whole thing. After finishing second in the league, there's this expectation that you're going to win. People were on board, on the bandwagon towards the end of last season, that this was it. This is finally when Orlando City is going to break through in the MLS and get that first championship outside of the U.S. Open Cup from a few years ago. Now, unfortunately, it didn't quite happen that way. And there were a couple of moves that needed to be made. Mauricio Pereira, who's the longtime midfielder on the team that ended up moving on, he went back home. Now, you'll get mixed reactions from fans on that, if that's a good move for the team and moving on from someone that a lot of people felt was maybe just a little too inconsistent in the middle, not aggressive enough going for trying to take goals for himself, or also just not quick enough on the different plays that the team needed to be making at that time. But he wasn't the only player that at least nearly moved on. Now, Duncan McGuire was the star of last season. He came out of the Super Draft. This is his first full season at the MLS level, and he set it on fire. Fire enough that European leagues were starting to look at Duncan McGuire, and we know how that old song and dance goes. We had the same thing happen with Daryl DK a couple seasons ago, where a player sets the league on fire, he gets noticed by the USA men's national team, gets a few call-ups, gets a few training sessions with them, and then all of a sudden they're looking to transfer to a European league. And this is just kind of the nature of the beast being an MLS team, and you have to go with the punches on some of that kind of stuff. And it looked very likely that Duncan was about to get transferred out to Blackburn, a team over in one of the European leagues. Only problem is Blackburn doesn't seem to know how to file their paperwork, and that's funny because we're just coming out of tax season. So if you haven't filed your taxes yet, don't be a Blackburn. Make sure you kept those deadlines. But that might have been what might be a big portion of what's going to happen this season for Orlando City, in that Duncan did not get that transfer completed. Now, he was the one that initially requested that transfer, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out throughout the rest of the year, and we'll touch a little bit on that a little bit later. But in prep for that move, Orlando City made another move where they brought in striker Luis Muriel, who, in a lot of the rotations that head coach Oscar Pereira likes to set up, occupies kind of the same space that Duncan McGuire occupies on the pitch. Now, Muriel's coming over from Serie A. He's a long-time veteran, a high-level player, so this was a great move in the eyes of a lot of people heading into the season, that this is exactly what they kind of needed. They need somebody that's going to be aggressive at the top, and that hasn't exactly worked out so far this season. But there was a couple of other moves that happened, including bringing back GM Luis Muzy and head coach Oscar Pereira, both on two-year deals. Now, they finished out the 2023 season on expiring contracts, which in a lot of other leagues is not very common. You don't really see that happen all that often. But in soccer, you see it a little bit more often, and even in some of the international leagues. But you really kind of enter the end of the year like that in a lame duck session. So even just the delay in having them sign these new two-year deals at the end of the year might have put Orlando City behind the eight ball in trying to get some other deals worked out. But bringing in a Luis Muriel, bringing in a David Brocalo from Vikings FK, which I think has been maybe the biggest impact move out of those potential moves that came through for Orlando City, just kind of shoring up that back defensive line, which has been a strong point for Orlando City in the past, but they needed a little bit more depth there. I like Schlegel. He's a lot of fun to watch, but Schlegel drives me nuts on the defensive end sometimes. Just something about him. I don't know how to exactly pinpoint it, but there's just something about the way that he plays, he over-pursues, and oftentimes ends up behind the ball. And then there's other times where he's the guy that's able to chase somebody down, make a huge play, but he's so up and down. Bringing in a David Brocalo, I feel like, really kind of solidified that back line a little bit more and has kind of given a little bit more consistent play back there. Heading into the season, you see some of these moves, and like I mentioned before with Mauricio Pereira, who'd been on the team for quite a few years at this point and occupied that position. That's a big change to make at the top end of your lineup. And considering some of the delays that we had with Luis Muriel getting transferred over, I think that, and also, again, the distraction that the Duncan McGuire failed transfer turned into, I feel like it really kind of did delay the start for Orlando City at the beginning of the year. They looked okay in some of their preseason warm-up matches. They looked okay in the first round of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, which they played a nobody team from the Canadian Premier League in the first round. They won both games handedly. But when it came to facing real MLS competition like Montreal in the season opener, or when it came to playing Tigres of Liga MX in the next round of that Champions Cup, you really did start to see some cracks in the armor. It made you a little bit nervous. You didn't see the crispness or the... I don't think crispness is the word, just because, again, there's going to be a lot of fans that are going to very much disagree with my take on Mauricio Pereira. But I really did think Pereira did just fine in the position that he was put in for Orlando City, because he was a consistent force. He knew exactly the way that Pereira wanted to move the ball, or the way that Oscar wanted to move the ball around. So Mauricio really, I feel like, was a good number 10 for Orlando over the last couple of seasons. And early on in this year, you really did miss that familiarity that he had in the offense. And I think missing that familiarity really showed when we got to the Miami game. 5-0 Now, again, this is a super team. Miami is the super team, right? Everybody expects them to blow everybody out. But to lose 5-0, that team embarrassed Orlando City. And really, towards the end of that match, you could see that the team was just defeated. They showed little heart, little hustle towards the end of it. There were opportunities that Orlando City had to even get a goal or two, but it just seems like, again, with missing that familiarity that that Mauricio Pereira really had on the top of that offense, there was just missed connections every single time that the team tries to get going down. And it really did kind of show a little bit of, again, a crack in, and more than a crack, honestly, and what's been a strength of this team in the past, and that's goalkeeper and defensively. Robin Jansen did not look like himself in that match. Pedro Galese did not look like himself in that match. And I think Jansen has started to turn it around a little bit. He started to kind of get that fire back in that everybody's always kind of seen for Jansen. He is now the team captain after Pereira moved on. And you need that fire out of that captain, especially from the Viking, you know, his nickname. And that was really missing early on in the season. Now, he is coming back from a major injury last year, so maybe that plays a little bit into it. And again, we're talking a lot about a familiarity between the team. And if there's missing training time and guys aren't able to gel, that's going to be a lot of that. And Galese has been historically good for Orlando City. He's one of the best in MLS over the last 5 years or so. But he's really just not looked like himself in the early goings of this season. And I think a little bit of that was, there was a lot of international talk going on early on in the season, and between all the extra matches that they were doing and things like that, I think that really kind of pulled his focus a little bit. And there's a lot of team members on Orlando City that were involved during that international window, that international break. You had Facundo Torres, the hotshot winger that really you're looking for his speed on the outside. You're looking for his, again, more consistency from him after a great season he had last year. And it's just not there. Again, there's something missing in the flow of the offense. Galese, I mentioned, Maguire, Brocalo, all of these guys missed time to go represent their countries for the international break. And again, Orlando City is not the only team that has to deal with the international break. But it really did seem like it was affecting them the most. They played a lot of matches early on in the season. These guys are getting pulled both ways to try and complete for their training time. So I think there's a lot to that early on in the season. And as I say that, right in the middle of this, there's that big gap where we were missing a lot of guys. And I feel like this is really kind of where it, oddly enough, starts to turn around. And it's just a few weeks ago where Orlando City had their 90s night. And I think 90s night is exactly what Orlando City needed. They needed a little bit of Go Ninja in their background with Vanilla Ice. And again, that was my second time getting to see Vanilla Ice at a post-game sporting event concert sing Go Ninja. So I feel like that's a big check on Greg's life sheet. So no one can ever take that one away from me that I got a chance to see that. But I also got to see Jack Lynn score his first career goal for Orlando City. Now, on 90s night, they played Austin FC, and Austin FC is not a very good team this season. They're very young. They're one of the most recent additions to the MLS, so there's not major expectations on them coming into the season. There are those expectations for Orlando City. So while Austin FC might be okay with their record so far this season, Orlando City fans and the Orlando organization is not happy with the way that they've played so far this season. So to get a big win against a team that's struggling, you take your wins when you can get them. You get Jack Lynn his first goal because he's got to play extended minutes with guys like Maguire out. And having only been in professional soccer since 2022, he was Orlando City's first round pick out of Notre Dame a couple seasons ago. And to score that goal alongside Nicolas Ladero, who is an MLS legend for his success that he had up in Seattle, but maybe one of those guys that's just past his prime enough that he's able to understand a role that he needs to mentor these young guys and help build that chemistry throughout a team that is severely lacking it at this time. Again, his status up in Seattle is unquestioned with multiple championships and a CONCACAF Champions Cup championship. He knows how to win. He knows what that looks like for a team. So to bring in that view of how an MLS franchise and team can win and bringing that into the fold here, I think might have just been exactly what OC needed. Outside of those bigger, what people would view specifically, even me, as the bigger moves from the offseason, Lodeiro kind of went a little bit under the radar for even the guy who's talking about things going under the radar. But that's just the start of it. Again, this was a couple of weeks ago. That's their first win of the season. Orlando City finally gets on the board after a very tough start. Again, they had the CONCACAF Champions League and they had the MLS season start out. They started out 0-3-1 with that one draw coming against Montreal to open the season. So to get that first win, to get those 3 points on the board, huge deal. And then to go up against a tough New York Red Bulls team, which Orlando City always seems to struggle with the Red Bulls. You pull them to a draw, you get the 1 point. And then this last week, to go up to DC, to be down 2-1. And again, I'm going to harp on Galese a little bit. To give up two tough goals. Those are not ones that Galese of the past is giving up with such ease. There needs to at least be a little bit of fight on that second goal that he gave up. But to go down 2-1, and then to see Duncan Maguire come off the bench as the spark that he always seems to be when he comes into the games late like this. And after a big Brocalo goal to tie it up, and then in the extras, that electric play of Duncan just running right down the middle of the pitch, right through the defenders to score that lead-taking goal in extra time. Again, coming off of the bench and being that spark that he is with the passion that he has out on the pitch, you see him arguing and looking for calls every single play down the pitch because of how hard these teams are trying to stop him. Because he just moves. He's a freight train out there. And again, I'll make the comparison again back to Daryl DK, another player that we saw that was just like that. And teams don't know how to stop them because their motor is going at 200 miles an hour. And in this one, DC couldn't stop them. DC gives up those two late goals. They lose that 2-1 lead that they had, lose the match 3-2 in DC. 7 points in three matches. 7 points for the standings in three matches. It's been a huge turnaround the last 2.5 to 3 weeks for Orlando City. And there's a lot of soccer left to play. Orlando City's season is going to run through October. So taking advantage of these games early in the season, rebounding from such a dreadful start, you even look at that goal differential and those 5 goals that Orlando City is down in the goal differential right now, you just chalk that up to the Miami game. You move on from your worst game of the year because that's going to be your worst game of the year. You move on from that and continue at this pace. Orlando City will be back at the top of the Shield standings before you even know it. And that really starts with a rematch with Montreal here coming up. Now, we've got to see if they can maintain this momentum that they've built up. Again, we talked about the 7 points in three matches. They walked away with 1 point. So that's all of their points so far this season. When the 1 point that they earned against Montreal early on in the season, and then these last 3 weeks. So continuing that momentum against Montreal, I expect a win against Montreal this coming week. Montreal has not played well this season either to this point. And I think Orlando City's starting to, you know, put the gas pedal down a little bit here coming up. And I think they've kind of started to figure some things out. I'm really excited to see them continue that momentum build. And not just the MLS season remaining. There's the League's Cup that's coming up. Now, the League's Cup is a little bit of a controversial topic coming up on this season. Typically, it's just, you know, it's a ho-hum thing. But early on, before the season started, MLS more or less abandoned the U.S. Open Cup, which is the championship that Orlando City won just a couple of seasons ago. And it's recognized as the oldest championship in North America. Supporter groups are even going as far as urging fans to boycott the League's Cup, looking at it as an MLS money grab. Now, I do not know enough about the ins and outs of the League's Cup versus the U.S. Open Cup to really give my opinion on that, but it's still a major part of Orlando City's season. Major League Soccer expects Orlando City to participate, so you will see the best of Orlando City in the League's Cup, and that will start in July. So you're going to have that third championship that Orlando City is going to be competing in this season. So you've got the regular MLS, you've got the League's Cup, and then early on in the season, you had the CONCACAF Cup. So many different opportunities for Orlando City to kind of start gelling, but it's also opportunities for them to get a little worn down. So we'll see how well Oscar's able to manage this going on later into the season. And you've also got to keep in mind with this international window. It's also an Olympic season. So if any of these guys end up getting called up to their Olympic level teams, that's going to be more pressure on Orlando City. And looking through their schedule, they don't have much of a break going on during the Olympics. So you're going to see a lot of guys having to move about, kind of like what we just saw this last week, a couple weeks ago against Austin FC. Guys getting moved up, moved around to new positions. So all these different kinds of things, it really does make an MLS season very difficult to manage. So definitely not an enviable position that I see Oscar in. But if anybody's shown that they have been able to figure out how to do that and win at the same time, it's been Oscar over the last few years. Four straight seasons in the MLS playoffs, a U.S. Open Cup championship mixed in there. So again, I think Orlando City's in the right hands after the moves that they made earlier in the season. I think things are starting to kind of straighten themselves out, and I think we'll start to see that a little bit more, and Muriel kind of get a little bit more comfortable in his position. I'd like to see him and Duncan out on the pitch a little bit more together and develop that relationship. I'd love to see that kind of continue to grow and grow. But I think that's going to be very important to the development of not only Duncan, but also to figuring out if Muriel was the right move. I think there's not a big window for Muriel to show that he's going to fit in well with this team. And if it doesn't, you might see a move off of him coming up soon. But that's not the only move that we need to pay attention to going into the remainder of this season. Now, remember how I talked about Duncan wanted to leave. Duncan pushed for that transfer from the first transfer window earlier in the season. Well, there's a second transfer window. That second transfer window opens in August, and Duncan qualifies for that transfer window. So there's nothing that disqualifies him from being eligible to leave later on in this season. Now, how willing is Orlando City to negotiate with that? I think that really does depend on where this team finds itself as we come up on the month of August. That leaves only about 2 months to the remainder of the season, because the MLS season ends in October, like I mentioned. A lot to fight for coming up here soon over the next couple of months. A lot of big storylines to follow as we do try and see where this team finds itself here coming up on that second transfer window. And if the team doesn't look good, does Duncan demand another transfer opportunity? Or has Orlando City seen enough to cough up the dough and keep this guy around? Time will tell. But again, I think that really all just does depend where Orlando City finds itself in the standings at that time. But what do you think? Can Orlando City get back to where they finished last season, or was it just more of a flash in the pan? Let me know in the Zoneheads Orlando Facebook group, which desperately needs more Orlando City talk. They see enough of my pictures and my comments on the game. What do you have to say about it? Just search for Zone-Heads on Facebook. And don't forget to find me on social media at MySportsFlorida and on my website, MySportsFlorida.com. Thanks again for listening to the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. I was your host, Greg Rhodes, here for The Underreported.
Today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast brought to you by Authentic Audio Productions, your go-to source for audio production of any kind, commercials, live endorsements, podcast production. You know, we can make you sound this good. Let Authentic Audio be your guide. Go to the website, get a feel for what we offer, AuthenticAudioPro.com. Follow this show, keep up on Facebook by becoming a Zonehead, also on Instagram and on YouTube. Short clips found there. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Continue to let the internet know that we are here. Throw us a follow, rate us, review us. We greatly appreciate it. Things are heating up. Stay tuned for tomorrow's Hot Takes Only episode, the perfect weekend listen as you unwind from the work week. We'll chat soon, Zoneheads.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.